I don't know if you can, but can you get an order for Ons? That's O-N-S Junior Market. The address is 1934 East Anaheim. All the windows are busted out. And it's like a free-for-all here, and the owner should be able to come down here and see if he's secure.
Torch columnist Sean Radican, joined by my co-host Derek Bergen, for part two of the Radican Audio Showcase for Saturday, November the 1st, 2008. We are back. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing good, Sean. I was listening to our earlier part one audio, and have you calmed down a little bit? Because it seems like you were trying to interrupt and talk over me at certain points. Have you, you regained your composure?
I thought it was the other way around.
You want to hear me. That's what I'm saying. When you talk over the voice of the people, it outrages the fans. The Torch readers, the Torch listeners of the audio, they want to hear the voice. They want to know the facts. They want a consistent reason and logic behind the argument and not Sean Radican just piping over him. Got it?
The voice was friggin' piping wind instead of listening in part one. So, had to take some wind out of your sails here and there, I guess. So, I guess we're both calmed down from our code red.
I'm ready. As long as the name Lyndon Walker or Bill Watts doesn't come up, I'll be fine.
All right. So, here we're going to review a couple of DVDs since we haven't done that in a while. We have RF video shoot interview with Ollie Anderson from 2008, and also the best of Claudio Castagnoli from the SmartMark video.com. We'll also maybe discuss a little bit of Hogan CCW at the end. So let's get into it. First up is the art video with the shoot interview with Ollie Anderson. I think we can all say, or at least most of us, that earlier this year when Pat McNeil interviewed Ollie Anderson, and he basically grilled Pat for about 40 minutes and seemed grumpy and moody, and that he would make a great subject for a shoot interview, and lo and behold, RF Video caught up with him at the wrestling convention in Carolina back in September that Bruce Mitchell went to, and Ric Flair. I think it was one of Flair's first convention appearances, and anyway, lo and behold, this was turned out to be some kind of shoot. What were your initial impressions after watching this?
Oh, this is definitely one of the top 10 shoots of all time, and people need to press pause on the play button right now. Head on over to rfvideo.com and order it. I mean, he's certainly had a hell of a year. I mean, the Kurt Angle shoot was exceptional. And like you said, we got our appetites whetted with the Pat McNeil interview, and I got to give Pat a lot of credit because he didn't once cave in or get agitated by what Ole was saying, when even as a listener, I wanted Pat McNeil to just confront him and, you know, call him on his bullshit, almost in the same way when Wade is doing The Ultimate Insiders, Volume 1, with Ed Ferreira and Vince Russo. You just wanted Wade Keller to almost break his interview character and call Russo out on the obvious bullshit. But like McNeil, Keller held his composure, was very professional, and took the insults in stride. Ole Anderson kept badgering Pat McNeil about reading his published book, which barely anybody in the world has read. And in this interview, Rob Feinstein, unfortunately, I'm not saying he's unprofessional, but he certainly wasn't as well equipped to take the constant amount of criticism. And then again, it was probably 2.5, 3 hours worth of Ole Anderson insults, and it led to be a really fun shoot interview just to watch them go back and forth. Did you like that, Sean? Did you find it abrasive? Or did you find it like me when the shoot interview with Al Snow, when he kept Al Snow kept asking Rob Feinstein questions kind of to trip him up? It was almost like he was testing Rob, where Ole Anderson was trying to really, like, stick it to Rob. Like, I really don't like you. How did you take all that?
This was like a much more abrasive, crumpy, older man chastising Rob. And usually you couldn't tell. It seemed like at times he genuinely just couldn't remember, but he so comes off as so angry that you know, he constantly challenges Rob with questions and so forth, and sometimes Rob would tell him the answers and give him the names. He'd be telling a story about a certain era booking in, say, Georgia Championship Wrestling, and Rob would feed him the name he needed. And then he'd tell the story, then he'd forget and get very angry about why he was telling the story. Like, he'd just stop, and it was like, it's like, oh, shoot, do you remember why I'm telling, why am I talking about this?
And, yeah, Rob, half the time he would ask Rob something, clearly because he thought Rob didn't know it and was trying to be like, aha, you idiot. And the other half, it was because he didn't know. He couldn't remember. He's like, he's doing this shoot interview and doesn't remember a single thing that he's done in his life, which is very odd. I guess he just likes to cash the checks. And by the end of it, Rob was confused. Like, are you asking this question because you honestly don't know, or you're asking basically to make fun of me? And you could almost tell the exasperation in Rob's voice by the end that, he's completely off camera, but you can tell that he's like, is this guy ribbing me, or is this a shoot? I mean, he honestly didn't know. And as a viewer, I was totally laughing out loud at that point. I could feel it for the interviewer, and I just hated Ole as a heel, and it was a fantastic dynamic.
It was a... We didn't set the – I mean, you kind of delivered the punchline, like the climax of all this interaction with them, with Rob finally going, it's like, are you testing me or something?
Yeah.
He just finally blurted it out.
That was awesome.
But, like, it kind of gets set up with the – it's kind of like the old Abbott and Costello routine, I thought. Early on, they start talking about Ole forming the Road Warriors and where he got the inspiration for that. And, you know, they start going back and forth, like Abbott and Costello, about whether or not the movie's called Mad Max with the movie with Mel Gibson or the Road Warriors. So Ole goes, the Road Warriors gimmick, and Feinstein goes, just blurts out Mad Max, and Anderson just stops and looks at him like he's the biggest friggin' moron. And I put this text in my review. He goes, "What are you talking about?" And Feinstein goes, "It was the Road Warriors, but I think the movie was actually called Mad Max." And Anderson just looks at him like with these piercing eyes, and goes, "No," and just goes on with his story. And eventually, I believe, you know, we kind of talked about the climax, but he's. He calls Feinstein a fucking idiot at one point, and just
my favorite exchange was when Rob Feinstein was like, "Did you consider giving the NWA title to anyone but Ric Flair?" And Ole was like, "Why would I do that? Ric Flair was an idiot. You know, the reason I kept on the belt was to get him out of my company." And Rob, "Well, who would you have wanted to beat him? Nobody. I hated him. That's why I gave him the belt." And this went on for like, I want to say 5 minutes. And it was just hilarious because Rob's trying to get an answer out of him. And Ole is dragging his heels in the mud. And it's the most surreal thing you'll ever see on a DVD. And I was just rolling. Oh, my gosh.
anyways,
obviously, Sean, Ole Anderson hates Ric Flair's guts. That's been a constant theme throughout the DVD, and he was trying, unsuccessfully, if you ask me, I think Rob kind of called his bullshit on this one, that Ric Flair was he didn't think it was a draw, he didn't think he could have good matches, and that's why he was NWA champion, because he could travel around, and Ole Anderson thought he would kill Georgia or Mid-South booking at the time. And it was just ludicrous. I mean, did you buy that for a second?
No, I thought it was kind of funny that he told some bizarre stories about why he hates Flair, and one of them involved Flair not paying a bet to some young guy backstage over a Vikings over a Vikings Green Bay game, like it was the old Watergate incident or something.
He can't remember not a single one of the biggest feuds he's been in his entire life. He remembers a third-party bet backstage in some town from 25 years ago. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, let's just say he wasn't exactly forthcoming with information about things he just didn't feel like talking about. Your feud with Dusty Rhodes, never worked him.
Don't remember.
Memories of, Four Horsemen. It was okay.
I didn't consider it anything big.
You bring up a name, though. He's like, Tully Blanchard. He's like, I really hated the bastard. He's like, and he tells some story about Tully and why he hates him. And basically, I think, I forget who the only two people, I think one of the people he liked was Vern Gagne, and maybe the other one was Bill Watts, if I'm right. And,
you know what I got the impression, Sean? Because it was like the self-destruction, the Ultimate Warrior, where WWE kept slamming the Warrior, calling him unreliable, calling him a bad draw, bad champion, bad wrestler, and yet they kept bringing him back, and they obviously didn't show the contradiction. It only kept slamming wrestling, kept slamming WCW, kept slamming Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, the bookers of down there, and yet he'd keep coming back and not mention it, you know what I mean? He just says, well, I went back in 82, I went back in 86, whatever. And
this
Rob
became
called him on that bullshit of, well, if you hated it and we're above it and we're making so much money, not in wrestling, which he made sure he told us, why did you keep coming back every single time they asked you?
Not only did he come back, but when Rob would ask him about it, he couldn't remember coming back.
it was absolutely fantastic.
Who was this under, Rob? And he's like, Kip Fry and...
Oh, God, do you remember that? They're trying to remember the name of who was running WCW, and Ole Anderson, well, he has the same name as my neighbor, a football player. Like, what does that have to do with anything? And he and Rob's going, Eric Bischoff, and Ole's like, no! Bill Schott, no!
Yeah, it was fantastic. Quiz time with Ole is hilarious. Rob's like, throwing names, like Jim Hurd. I think he said yes to Jim Hurd finally, but Rob had already said it before, and the poor guy, and Ole keeps going, no, no.
No, you idiot.
You fucking idiot. and this pattern continues throughout, and so needless to say, we don't learn much about his best feuds or his... we learned that, he worked with people who made money for him as a booker, which doesn't tell us much either. But,
he's one of those types who I'm sure considers himself a friend or not a homophobe. Yet every time he talked about Jim Barnett, or he always went into Jim Barnett's list, he imitated him. And you can tell that he hates homosexuals. For some reason, I think he even asked Rob if he was straight or a homosexual at one point. It was just a very odd question.
Well, there's a great Rob asked, I think maybe what you're thinking of is when Rob asked him, what do you think of the people who don't like you? Are there people out there that don't like you? And Rob's like, yeah. He's like, that's what I think.
It was just so awesome. But did you get that impression that he's one of those type of people that kind of was like, well, some of my best friends are black and they're secretly kind of a racist? That he's really against homosexuals in wrestling, and was just hated Jim Barnett, the fact that he probably had to work under him his whole career.
Yeah, his imitation of Barnett, and it was just beyond fruity.
Again, I booked myself into a hole and I can't get out of it. You're always thinking,
buddy. Oh, can you come and book for me again?
He's the only guy of the hundred of people that only talks about that he does an impersonation of. So it just it's.
Oh, he does a Bruiser. I think he did Bruiser Brody at the beginning a little bit. But yeah, he kind of his imitation of Barnett kind of sounds like the old perverted pedophile on Family Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, you know, anyway, after all of this,